Hey, this is Sean Clark from Horror's Hollow Grounds and the Thing with Two Heads, and you're listening to Horror Talk.
I am back again with my boy Quinn here, Grim Grinner Studios. That's a good one, man. Let's start that off real quick here. Fucking, for those of you that are just listening, obviously, I recommend go listening to part one. Make a lot of sense. If not, whatever. We're going to continue off basically where we were. We got some big updates here. And I do got a question. I don't think I asked last time for you, bro, is where did your name come from? Like, where does...
Oh, jeez. Yeah. The studio name?
Yeah. Where the fuck did that come from?
Shit. Well, I've always been heavily into the Disney theme parks, not so much the company. I think it embodies corporate America and everything wrong with it. But, you know, I was always just absolutely in love with, you know, Haunted Mansion and Grim Grinner. That goes with the recurring line throughout the entire ride, Grim Grinning Ghosts. So, you know, that ended up going into that. I started using that studio name back when when I was still doing the Myers scene. And there was this one mask. It was very shitty. It was a pretty bad recall. And I named it the memory mask. And I put a tag on it, and I put Grim Grinner Studios. And yeah, it never sold. But and ever since then, that's when I'm like, you know, I kind of centered on that name, and it's stuck, and it's, you know, so it's good and it's fitting. I like it.
Well, I mean, that's fucking interesting. I find it funny that we I never stumbled across you, but we both came from the Myers community. Obviously, I'm still in it a little bit. Not like I used to be, obviously.
I'm here.
You know, it's weird, man. I don't know. It's like, besides the the toxic fucking people over there, it's like, I don't know. It's just not interesting like it was for me when I first started. I mean, I have 3, 6, 9, 12. I got about 15 Myers masks, you know, indie mask, and, I got WMPs from Chris Morgan. I got some CGPs. I got a Warlock from Terry Lambert. I got an H5 Revenge of the Fifth from Nitram. Fucking Martin Penna over there. Yep. What else? I got it's an H. So this is the only one Nikos. I'm pretty close with Nikos. I'm the closest with Chris from WMP. But me and Nikos talk and keep up... you know, family talk and stuff. We're always checking in on each other. And I own an HK-78 from him, but it's the only one he ever did, and it's got a flashback finish to it. I had him do a flashback finish. And didn't have JC or any of those fucking, you know, 3-year wait list hype-built fucks do it. I just had Nikos do it himself, which a lot of people don't. You know, a lot of people... you know, just get the blanks and send them along to whoever to finish them. And I'm not on the JC hype train, you know. That's just my preference, though. So we all, you know, we all got our own preferences, bro. So.
Well, I mean, those masks can just be sitting assets of money. I've seen them go for ridiculous amounts of cash from people willing to pay for it. But they're paying for the name.
That's it, man. Fuck yeah.
They're paying for the name because after a while, the work, it gets established, and then they can kind of start to digress in their in their skills. And then people are eventually at that point, they're paying for the name. And in Nag's case, that's it's easier to get money fast from just doing a blank and sending it to another artist.
Yep.
And that causes that person to be spending a egregious amount of money for that mask, you know, getting that paint job going on.
Fuck yeah. I don't know. It's for those of you familiar, you know, you got I talked to all these guys. There's no hate here, but you know, underneath JC is, you know, the offsprings is Nick and you know, Nick over at Handy Boy and Jimmy
Pagano, yeah.
Yeah, and Jimmy over at Spook House. You know, they were and built their foundation off of JC. You know, they're all intertwined, and I didn't like you know, whatever, I'll stay, I don't care. Like I said, it ain't a beef or nothing like that. We're shooting the shit out of, for you guys listening, it is 1 a.m, so we are just doing a shoot the shit type of podcast here, and that's what people, I feel like people enjoy that rather than some structured shit. We don't structure shit, you know what I mean? We just come in here and talk and go with the flow. But JC did my boy Mike over at AHG pretty dirty. You know, I'm not going to go into details. AHG, for those of you that don't know, he's an OG of the OGs, man. That dude, he kills you know, he kills the H4s. You don't see him around much. You can still purchase from him. He puts shit up on his blog. I email him here and there. We talk back and forth. I was helping him with some website shit and whatnot. But, yeah, man, the Myers community, it's not what it was. And now I'm all in on TCM, and that's what I love doing. And I've been picked up some new shit today. I don't know if I sent it to you. Fucking, I picked up a bunch of shit from the One Leg Randy over there at the flea market. And shout out to Randy. Eli, shout out to Randy, man. He's a good fucking dude. But he had, so back in the day on TexasChainsawMassacre.net, owned by Tim Harden, who was the actual founder of the fan club 20 years ago, or fucking 30 years ago, 40, whatever, however long it's been. You know, he just got too overwhelmed over time and was just, you know, basically just let it go. And I ended up, you know, I guess I wouldn't say bringing it back, but rebranding it, or obviously keeping the original name. And shout out to Tim Harden, man. That dude, he's, you know, I took a lot of my information and photos and everything from his website, obviously with his permission. And he's all for it. And he was really good friends with Rick Balin, actually. Like, real, like, best friends with Rick Balin. And for those of you that don't know Rick Balin, you know, fan club's dropping April 1st. We're just a couple away. Yeah, a couple days away here. I don't know when you guys are going to hear this or listen to this, but by the time you probably listen to this shit, the fan club's going to be live. TCMFanClub.com. Check it out, man. We got everything and anything you could fucking want TCM related. You know, we got prop makers like Quinn here himself. We got content creators like Sean Stone. We got it all, man. We got any bit of information that you want on TCM, it's there. And if it ain't there, we'll put it there. You know, it's fully free to use. We have a nice forum set up, shit like that. And just something for the community, man. That's why we're all here, and we love what we do, and that's what it is. So let's get into the juicy shit. So the last time we spoke, you had a trip planned.
Yes.
You know, and it was something I know you were fucking ecstatic about and excited to go do. And, you know, I was excited, man, sitting here waiting to see what came from it. And amazing, you know, unbelievable. For those of you that don't know, I'll let Quinn here take over for a minute and explain what we're talking about and his experience with it. And yeah, man, just give it a go.
So, yeah, I mean, I eventually ended up becoming very good friends with David Munoz, who's the owner of this amazing, amazing collection of props from, you know, TCM 74. And with the coup de grace being the killing mask that he owns. And I frequently visit my brother. He lives in Denton. And turns out that David lives in the general area, which is just Wonderful, wonderful. And so, you know, and I was able to schedule time for me to swing by his house and ask him these questions. And, you know, I gifted him a V3 of my mask, which he was absolutely blown away with, which made me very happy. And, but he just had so much to show, and he was so incredibly polite and just wonderful, wonderful person. Seeing the Killing Mask again in person was very surreal. It's wonderful. I got exact measurements that I was able to take. I took over 260 photos of it.
Jesus.
All in 4K. And those are all to the public. Well, most of them. So that's my way of kind of giving back to the community. I saw over 700 behind the scenes photos.
Holy fuck.
From Texas Chainsaw. And there's things I've seen that I can't even begin to explain. To recite some of the things that I've seen behind the scenes. It's very, very interesting. There's photos of Gunner. There's photos of Gunner right when the infamous story of him, you know, meeting Terry in the camper after they already knew each other and they didn't know that they were going to be in the same film.
That's funny.
There's a photo in the camper right before that happened of, you know, just Gunner in his regular clothes and with the script in his hands reading it. And it's just very interesting looking at all these photos. And it's everything's so preserved and very lively looking at all this. What was really, really mind-blowing, though, one of the things in my eyes in one of the photos is there appears to be a picture of Bill Parsley.
Oh, shit.
He is, if anybody knows anything about Bill Parsley, was the executive producer of the film. Bill Parsley's face was the Killing Mask, and there's only two photos known of him publicly that exist. And that's a photo of him, of how he looked at the time. You can see the side profile of him, and it's very obviously his face. It's very interesting, you know, seeing a picture of Parsley. Man.
That's a lot of people don't know that either, and I've never seen a picture, so, you know, that tells you right there. I got to call you out on something, though. So you said most of, a little bit ago here, you know, you posted most of.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to post all of them because there was some photos that revealed things inside the mask or underneath or some things that were not generally known to the public that Bob Burns did with the mask. And David said, respectfully, I don't want to see replica makers add some of these things. I'd rather this be a well-known secret with the people that are, you know, have the pleasure of seeing the mask or the anybody in the future who owns it. And I respect that. So
that's
why I'm not really looking at photos. But, you know, it's not changing anything. There's nothing that you see that's going to make your jaw drop. It's
seeing
not much
without speaking on it, seeing the mask in real life and you know, the things that you mentioned there, like stuff that's inside of the mask or whatever, not that, you know, we can't see. Does that give you a better insight into the mindset of Bob Burns, or is it just something completely different? Like, does it?
Well, the thing about Bob Burns, how he made that mask, it was completely overkill, which was amazing because you look at it and you figure, well, he went the simplest way he could, you know, just have the face and then the forehead straps, just this little piece, put onto a wig and it's all kind of pieced together. No, that thing is so complexly made and took him a few days in my eyes. I think that probably could have taken him a few days just to make that one. Just God, the the back of the head is it's this one solid piece that runs up and becomes the forehead strap that's stitched on, but right. It didn't completely go over. There's actually a big chunk on the side that's not there and stitches onto a piece in the back. So it kind of forms this L shape on the back of the head. It's very strange. And the only reason I think he could have added that is to give it a certain look, because, you know, he had to trim these pieces and stitch them a certain way. It was very confusing. But very, very interesting looking at it close up. It makes me want to try doing some of those things with my future copy.
For those
the wig, too, was modified. He snipped the connective nylon in bottom of the mask. So it makes it the back wig is actually an 11-inch long mullet. It's not just the short wig. It's very long.
For those of us, okay, that, you know, your everyday user like myself, I am not familiar with the process of, you know, creating mask, in general, whether it's silicone, latex, this, that, you know, whatever. In simple terms, what was the process that Bob Burns did without telling any stuff that we can't know or not, like just in general, you know, so how do you start this? So you said he molded it off the dude's face. You know, how does that whole process work? Like if I was there right now and they were going to use my face, take us behind the scenes here of this mask making shit and explain a little bit more of how Bob Burns would have did this and how it was done. From your knowledge of making masks, how does this work?
Well, the process that Bob Burns did to make these masks was very, very confusing because it wasn't any normal way that you would have. It was done in the moment, and quick as possible to at least get them out of the molds. And they didn't use plaster or anything. They used dental alginate. And alginate's like it's like a gelatin material, but it sets up fast, and it's used to make negatives that you pour plaster into to make like a life cast of somebody. But they made these negatives, and with these big, practically jello molds, he layered yellow fiberglass and liquid latex on the inside, and a very, very thin layer, and just enough where it would dry and take it out. And the actual mask it's about as thick as a piece of paper. It's incredibly thin. And so he took out the poles from the alginate mold, and for the killing mask, he said that he wanted to show these very strange teeth that they made from. So he took a coat hanger and stretched out the mouth with that, and adhered it with little pieces of double twisted wire, and folded the eyes open, added a big bash on the forehead because he said that he wanted to create the effect of that being the bludgeoning wound from how that victim was killed. So the same thing with the grandma mask. There's a big hole on the head. He wanted to come up with the idea that these characters that were turned into these masks were killed with the demise of a hammer. And also, I mean, a little detail that you might notice behind the scenes watching it again, the bone chair that's in the chicken room, there's a skull on top of it, and it has a big hole also in the forehead. So Bob was very focused on little details, even if they didn't get seen, which I incredibly appreciate.
For sure. For those of you listening, if Quinn gives us permission, at some point we'll get his photos added of the killing mask, the public ones, onto the fan club. We'll have a section for it so you guys can peek through there and see what he's talking about. He's also got it on his social media, which I'll link in the description. How durable do you think like a mask like that would have been with what Gunner was doing?
Not at all. It wasn't durable at all. And actually, if you watch the film, it ripped completely. There's that small little rip on the chin that started right after the well, I mean, they didn't film chronologically, but for the scenes with the killing mask, they mostly did. The last scene that they filmed was Franklin's death scene. And you know, but after that, when he's chasing Marilyn Burns through the forest and the house, that was filmed before then, because that tiny rip on the chin during Franklin's death scene, it turns into this enormous hole that you can see his double chin through it, kind of shaped like the Adidas logo, but it's massive right there. And yeah, that's just from not even going crazy. That's just from Gunner running around or doing whatever he was doing. But over time, that small rip just got bigger and bigger, and they didn't bother repairing it because they're filming at the speed of light. They had to get it done.
Right.
And that was the case for a lot of the masks. The pretty woman in the reshoots for the ending, when they had to reshoot the car picking up Marilyn Burns, the bridge of the nose is ripped. And yeah, those masks, they sustained damage and they didn't bother replacing them. Some people thought that they had some theories that there was actually two killing masks, which is bullshit, but
Right.
yeah, those are just people, I guess they don't really understand that they didn't film the movie in chronological order, because that's actually quite normal for filmmaking. They
Absolutely.
don't film chronologically. You know, for Paul Partain, the last film they last shot they filmed with him was actually his first scene of him falling down the hill.
Wow,
That
I
was
didn't
his
know that.
final scene. And he said, but with that final scene, they weren't paying him yet. And he
Yeah.
kept, I don't know if you remember that story or not,
Nope.
but he said, I'm getting paid right now. And he said, if you look very closely with him falling down that hill, he has his paycheck in that front pocket.
Oh,
And
that's
you know,
funny.
that scene again, and sure enough, his paycheck is poking out that pocket right there.
Oh shit. That's a cool
Yeah.
fact. Let's talk a little bit about so you made it over there, took 200 plus photos, came back, and you did something very special. A lot of people don't really know about the ears on the original
Yes.
mask, and why don't you give them a little rundown of what happened during filming, filming the movie and stuff like that, and what opportunity that you were, given, and obviously nailed it, killed it out of the fucking park. So, yeah.
So, famously, after filming the final scene with the killing mask, Gunnar Hansen ripped off the ears and threw them into the forest of Quick Hill. That's just that story in a nutshell. He was so pissed with them flopping around, you know, flopping against his face or whatever, that he you know, grabbed both the ears, ripped them off, and threw them in the woods. And yeah, so ever since then, the killing mask has remained earless in Bob Burns's collection and anybody else that owned it afterwards. So when I was over visiting David, he floated me this idea. He said, you know, I'd be very interested, and I've always wanted to commission someone to recreate the ears as if they would look today and have them on little metal stands so they could be displayed next to the killing mask so you could kind of visualize how it would still look. Well, I said, shit, well, you're inviting me here to your wonderful home, showing me your collection. I'll do that for free. That's no issue.
Fuck yeah.
So I went home and I did that in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I used scrap latex that I had, and I since I had the measurements of where the stitch marks were, I knew exactly the dimensions of the ears. So I, you know, I formed them into shape and got a, you know, distressed them all I could and got them how I liked them and did a little bit of reverse engineering. There's only the stitch on the right hand side, so I figured with the ear being ripped off, it must have it left the stitches on the mask on that side. So there must have been rips on that ear where the stitches would have been. So I added that to that ear, and on the other side, the stitches weren't there. So they must have come off with they must have come off the mask with him ripping off the ear. So that ear, I added stitching, and I added a little extra piece of latex as if that's the piece that got ripped from the mask. So, you know, doing a little bit of, I guess, forensics work, and just building up these ears where they match up with the original. And on the right hand side, there's a little bit of there's a little chip underneath that stitch mark. So I had that extra piece of that would have chipped off with a little bit of extra thread, little kind of, you know, having that dangling down. And I had two little metal stakes of exactly what I imagine, and I stick them in these weighted styrofoam bases that match the same stains that were on the styrofoam head under the mask. And, you know, I made it adjustable for height, and I shipped those to David, and sure enough, they line up exact. Even to the stitches on the right-hand side and the stitch rips on that ear, they match up perfectly, and the color is near perfect. And I'm just very, very happy with how they turned out. And I also coated them in enamel, clear coat and enamel, same as the killing mask, to prevent it from rotting, which you know, what they sprayed it in. So they're like, they feel like they feel the same that the killing mask feels to the touch.
Okay.
And I had the pleasure of putting my big, meaty, sweaty fingers on the killing mask.
Yeah.
It feels like tinfoil to the touch. Huh. It's very strange.
Interesting.
Yeah. Whatever enamel I put on it, it didn't affect the hair at all. Huh. It only stayed on the mask. The wig is still the same, but it's so thin that it feels like raking your finger across tinfoil.
Holy fuck. Interesting. So, once again, for those of you listening, I'm high as shit. I just remembered. He put a phenomenal post up on the fucking forum, on the TCM Fan Club forum. It's got beautiful pictures on there, a nice write-up on it. I'll throw that link, sir, in the description as well. You know, it's unbelievable, man. What a opportunity. Fill me in here on this. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. Let's go from David to, like, let's reverse in time here. Where did he get it from? Who got it from Gunner? Who had it after the filming was done? Like, what's the timeline story on how it got into his hands and that you were able to, you know, go see it and work on it basically in these ears? And, like, you know, where the fuck did it come from? What's the timeline here?
Well, let's see. Yeah. Right after filming, it stayed in the collection of Bob Burns,
okay,
the art director. So it stayed in his collection for, God, 30 years, maybe.
Wow.
It was mid-90s that he gifted it to someone. And under Bob Burns, when he still owned it, it had significant rotting from 74 to the mid-80s. So... that's Bob Burns sprayed it with the enamel. He had it enamel coated, or maybe he just brushed it on. But it was coated with the enamel. And before then, there was actually some sections that were crumbling, and he decided to repair, like, the section around the mouth. Wow. There's just all these kind of pieces that are adhered with, I believe, more latex, but they're just holding it together right there. And there's sections by the eyes, and they have these little repairs, and you can only see it very close up. But he actually kind of mixed some burnt sienna paint together to match the rot color to touch these sections up, which I think is very interesting. And but after that, you know, he sealed it with the enamel and gifted that to some other individual. I can't remember his name. It's on the old TCM.
Was it a personal friend or somebody, a fan of the franchise, like a Rick Balin?
He was a franchise. I'm not sure if it was a friend of his. It may have been.
Okay, but it was gifted, not sold. It was just gifted to somebody.
I believe it was gifted, yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting gift.
Oh fuck, no shit, right? Imagine. So what,
Yeah.
how did it make its way after that?
So the owner after that, he had it sealed in a glass case, like literally air sealed.
Air sealed,
And
okay.
you can see it in some of the convention footage from I think like 2002. The mask was there at that convention, and it looks exactly the same as it does today, because it's looked the same ever since, you know, the mid 80s when it was sprayed with that enamel. But he that man, David Munoz, was in conversation with him for a while, trying to get more info and eventually acquiring it from him. And he acquired it, I think, in 2020, and it's been in his collection ever since.
Is there
And
a
he took it out.
public, has he publicly spoken on what he paid for it?
I personally know what he paid, but I'm
You
not going to
personally,
reveal that.
so it's not
But
public at this, okay.
yeah, it's public, but I will say I think that is a damn good deal for
So
the
we're
killer
not
mask.
talking like, and don't give anything away here, but for example, the original Goosebumps mask just sold for, I think it was $31,500. You know, is TCM is in the Star Wars ones, they had like a Darth Vader mask. Those were upwards of 70, 80 grand. You know, you saying it's a good deal, you know, is a good deal is, you know, all we're gonna say. We got it for a good price.
Well, I think to say, well, if David would ever sell it, which I know for a fact he's
Yeah,
not, but if he
right.
was ever, I could see him getting, God, $70,000 for
So
it.
that's what, okay. Understandable. Absolutely. I mean, it is a whole
Not saying
piece
he paid
of.
that, but
No,
that's
right.
definitely what he could get for it.
Right. And it is a horror or a huge piece of horror history, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, TCM, man, 1970 fucking four, you know. That's just to own that, you know, I own some scripts, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, yeah, but this guy's got the fucking mask. You know what I mean? Like the mask, man. And he's got a ton of other shit, correct?
Oh my God, the amount of other things he had. It hurt my brain. I'm waiting for the next chance for me to go back there because I
Oh,
want to focus on
fuck.
everything else.
Yeah,
You know,
yeah,
but I was there, see some of the collection, and he just says, oh, this is my Evil Dead room. He
oh,
opens up
man.
this room, and it's probably, my God, the size of my room, but it's was filled. And I mean by filled, you could not walk in the room. There was so much shit,
Holy
all
fuck.
from Army of Darkness. He had
Wow.
set pieces, costumes, pieces from Evil
Wow.
Ash's costume. He had Deadites, full skeleton displays, props. He had animatronics that they used on the set. There was
No
so much
way.
shit
Holy
in that room,
fuck.
it made my mind melt. There's so
Wow.
much.
Wow.
He had but in regards to TCM, he has other amazing pieces. He has Franklin's flashlight. He has Hitchhiker's pouch, Hitchhiker's God, bracelet.
Yeah.
He had
Oh, wow.
my God, he had Grandpa's hammer. He had a big section of the original wallpaper from the house. He
Wow.
has life cast. He has all sorts of shit. It's just amazing the amount of things that he's acquired.
Well, hey,
Oh my
but,
God, he's got the original Polaroids. He's got the
oh, my
original Polaroids.
God. Well,
And in
if
the behind the scenes photos that
fuck,
he has, that's
man.
actually interesting piece of info. I was
Who's
looking at the alternate photos of the slaughterhouse that
Holy
weren't
fuck, they
chosen to
weren't
be the
right.
Polaroids.
What the
What
fuck?
we were able to figure out, Leatherface's apron that he wears in that film,
Yeah.
they got from that slaughterhouse.
Really?
Because pictures, the other, you know, the slaughterhouse photos that didn't make it, all the workers are wearing the exact same apron.
No way. Holy fuck. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay,
with the
okay.
chain on the back, the yellow nylon. And I'm sure if I looked closely, then I could have probably, I think it'd be interesting if I was able to find the exact apron if someone was wearing it, if they had the same grease stains and blood stains.
Dude, no shit. Right.
Yeah, I
Fuck.
was talking to David. Well, shit, if we could find that, that'd be very interesting.
Dude, we gotta get him on here one day for either a interview of a voice interview like this, or just a text interview for the fan club site. Man, I would love to talk to him a little bit more and just
Oh, he's a gentleman to talk to. I think he'd absolutely love to do a text interview at the least.
No,
And that'd be
absolutely.
great for them.
Oh, it'd be phenomenal, man. Like I said, just to have him on there and put some info on the site and get his take on everything, owning all that. And damn, man. I mean, it's that's the thing about this whole the reason I have the love for this man is back again, Rick Balin. I mean, this guy collected, opposite of him, he didn't collect necessarily props, but he had more Texas Chainsaw Massacre autographs and posters and just every he had more shit than any collector ever. I mean, this guy had the cream of everything was the he had the whole cast was signed on pretty much everything he had, man. It was unbelievable.
And
Hundreds
I
of
hope he
gunners and
never forgets his damn name.
oh man, and that's where I feel like your boy one day, guess what? We all got a ticket out of here, right? He's gonna end up passing away and somebody's gonna pick up his collection and somebody's gonna pick up my collection. You know what I mean? And it's just gonna keep going, bro. And I was like, damn, by the time my kids are 40 years old or so, whether I'm here or not still, that'll be the 100th anniversary. And like,
Crazy.
it's like, damn, man. Like, I just hope that, we all, that's for those of you listening, man. We got the most solid set of guys behind this fucking fan club for you guys, man. I'm talking like we're all here for the same reason, man. It's never been about the money. It'll never be about the money. We just love this franchise. We love digging deeper into it. We got fucking GD, that fucking
I
guy.
was just about to bring him up. Holy shit.
That
The amount
fucking guy, dude. I mean,
sleep.
guy, you guys got listen. You guys listening, man? Check the fucking description. Go to the fan club forum. Fucking just read the history that this fucking guy, the in-depth photos and write-ups of
I
just.
swear he's a savant in the amount of information that he's able
And
to
we're
figure out. It's
talking
incredible.
some deep rabbit hole shit here. We're not talking just the bait. There is no other site or forum that is going to go in depth. I mean, this guy was figuring out the
It's
fucking
all there.
the intro.
All
Oh,
the
this is a
there.
solar
It's all
flare
there.
or fuck, it's like
Yeah.
unbelievable. Like this guy's breaking down the fucking intro. Where do they get this footage?
Yeah.
How the fuck that it's
And
like
some people may have that knowledge, but it's not documented
it is
anywhere.
any yep
But
and
there's like that solar flare. No one else has that knowledge, though. He figured that out on his own,
damn right he
which
did. And
and
yeah,
He's just
man.
he's documenting it, and he's doing a damn good job, and it's a good read, and tons of photos, and
Fuck,
his
man.
diagrams that he does for some of these things. I use some of them for my mask reference.
Dude, yep.
It's oh my God, he's a complete blessing.
Dude, listen, when you
It's
wake up, guys, and you get a coffee and you gotta go take a shit, or you're just sipping your morning coffee, you go through there, you got an hour read on one of this guy's posts, man. And you're gonna
Oh my
fucking,
God.
it's fucking, and it ain't bullshit. It's all real, properly wrote out with nice photos, and it like,
Oh, and he
it's,
fact checks everything. He
oh,
quadruple fact
yeah,
checks everything.
man. It's such a clean write-up and professional article that. And shout out to him, man. He did all the icons for the categories on the forum. I mean, that
Oh,
guy's
speaking of
fucking.
that, I just saw that one that he did for the sequels
Dude, he's
category.
fucking killing it, man. And this is what I mean, guys. Like, our team is. I could not. You know what I mean? Without these fucking guys backing it and supporting it. It's. Dude, we just got a solid shout. Mark, Sean, fucking
Yeah, we got the
Quinn
perfect
here.
team.
Anyway,
It's wonderful. Everybody's wonderful.
we got content creators on board with us, Instagrammers, YouTubers. I mean, we got the guys, man, and a lot of us, you know, Mark and Quinn and myself, you know, we speak to the cast. You know, we talk to them. Quinn over here, this fucking bastard, he lives out in Texas, so he got to experience, you know, a once in a lifetime thing. You know, fucking check his Instagram photo. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you see it. Unbelievable, you know, and this, like I said, it's not, we're not some group of guys that are trying to make fucking money. We're not trying to make a name. We're just having fun doing this shit and you know, trying to pass around this knowledge. And, you know, 50 years, man, 50 fucking years. This film is still
51 now, my God.
51 now, 51 now. It's still, fuck, man. It's just, you don't get shit like this anymore, you know, and it's unbelievable that, you know, I am so happy and grateful that we are able to do what we're doing for them and the community, and just like being able to preserve this history. Nobody has done this with Tim Harden. Tim Harden did do this, okay, and pass the torch to me. But we're coming with more and better, and just, he laid the foundation for us. Like I said, I can't thank Tim enough for all the information, that all the old shit that he has and the photos. And without that, you know, we'd be starting at ground zero. The fan club wouldn't be what it is yet. But the new shit coming out, like the shit GD's posting on the forums and the shit we're putting on the site,
Seriously.
it's
Yeah.
unbelievable, man. You guys are getting inside looks on shit that's never been known and never been looked into. You know, like just like Quinn here going and getting those photos of that mask and making the ears for it. And the franchise is booming right now, man. You know, the 50th
Yeah.
anniversary, it's alive and it's bigger than ever, man. So, check us out. Like I said, it'll be free forever. Down the road, people were already asking me, like I said, if we ever, you know, we ever grow big. When I say big, I'll shoot a 20,000 member count, you know, activity wise and shit like that. Maybe we'll add a member feature where, you know, whatever, people that want to support, $5 a month or some shit just to give back, we'll send you guys out fucking hoodies and shirts, and you'll get special badges and colors on the form. I don't know, people were already asking. We're not here for the money. We don't give a fuck about the money. We just want to fucking do this, man, and I love doing it.
Yes,
And
sir.
you know, we've all been busting our ass in our own ways. So, what's the best way to reach out to you if somebody wants to purchase something?
Absolutely through Instagram. I mean, you can do it through Facebook Messenger, but it's going to be a little slower for a reply, and you know, it's going to be a little harder keeping up with your progress when it's going to be there. But yeah, you know, message me anywhere, preferably Instagram, but
Yeah.
anytime. Inquiries. Oh,
How,
I'm up.
yeah, what's your wait list currently looking like for the people listening?
Oh, geez, this right now. I got some trades that I'm working on. I have a lot of orders that I'm working on. So max wait time right now is 2 months.
And that's
But I
not
mean, that's
bad at
not.
all. That's
Well,
nothing. That's nothing.
yeah, when my competitors right now, their wait time is around a year.
Yep. So they say.
I think I'm doing pretty damn good. But
Yeah.
you know, that's just a bump in the road, and I'm not going to be keeping this wait time. So
He
no,
gets them done,
I'm
man.
he's done, and I've been getting them done so far, and I'm getting those damn grandma heads done. Gotta wait for those. But yeah, working on those.
What current mask do you offer at this time?
Right now, I have the Killing Mask and the Pretty Woman,
Okay.
and you know, I'm selling grandma heads, and
Fuck
I'll
yeah.
be doing, you know, I'm doing grandma eventually, and doing original pieces and other pieces here and there, and possibly sequels. I don't know, you know, just working on things, and you
Having
know, I do
fun.
full body commissions too, and but those are pretty pricey, but
Oh, yeah.
I do those, and you know, I do skull commissions, which are pretty reasonably priced, and I need to be doing the updated aged Killing Mask sculpt since I got all those measurement references. So,
Well,
and I'm gonna be doing same coloring that I did on those Killing Mask ears. So it's going to be incredibly accurate once it's finished.
Fuck yeah, so I'm dude.
Providing that to everybody.
Will we ever see a pretty V2?
I don't think so. I mean, it's hard for me to decide. I think Darling Dottie is a very, 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 very good how she's looking right now. I'd like to send some more out to customers and see how they fit and any complaints that I may have, because if I have any, you know, critic consensuses, then I'd consider changing. I'm always open to criticism. Always. It makes me better at my craft and I can improve things. But right now, most of the time, why I've ever updated my sculpt for the Killing Mask, that's not complaints of customers, that's complaints of me. You know, I had to do three of them to get it right, and I'm already even considering doing a fourth one. Ooh. But
we love it. Yeah, we love that.
And with Grandma, I had a sculpt. I'm just refusing to release it because I want to redo it. But yeah, everything's
right now. What's the backstory on the pretty as far as Bob Burns? Was that molded off the same dude's face? What's the story on that one?
Actually, a pretty interesting story. I think that's the most interesting out of all of them. All
right.
So, Dottie Pearl, she was doing makeup on the set. I think she was doing some other things too. I can't remember. I believe she was a key grip, but she knew how to make stage blood, and she mentioned that on set. So she was actually a pretty good asset on the set, helping with lots of things. And she had this, you know, very strong jawline and this, you know, interesting face. So they decided to mold her face out of the alginate too, and they did a couple pulls, as they did with Bill Parsley. And you know, Bill Parsley the second, they did another pull, and that ended up being one of the sides of the face lamp. And and they did several pulls of Dottie Pearl's face, and one of them ended up being one of the faces in the barrel of faces that was hanging in the chicken room. And what Toby Hooper, he said, I want a beautiful woman. That's what I want this mask to be. I want it to be a beautiful woman. And you can see in the behind-the-scenes photos of him making the mask, it's just this simple woman face, you know, the neat lipstick and the eyes opened up and the thin eyebrows and, you know, a little bit of blush. So that's what the mask was going to be. Simple as that. He was doing all this in a shed.
Jeez.
And eventually Toby came in and saw what he was doing, and without telling Bob, he locked himself in Bob's shed. And my God, like an hour later or something, he came out and he's cut open the eye and stitched it open and smeared the lipstick all over it and added all this crazy makeup and, you know,
wow,
just made the pretty woman how it looks today with that very, very bizarre look. And I'm actually very happy that he did that. But yeah, it has a very bizarre look to it, and that's because of Toby Hooper. He just went kind of crazy with it.
That's fucking... And we... I can't think of who it is. Mark's been talking... who's the person that owns that? Do you know...
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I'll drive.
His Instagram, something like House of Horrors.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
I've talked with him briefly. He lives in England.
Okay. So he's out Mark's way.
He's a private collector. Yeah, but he told me that he has it tucked away. So I don't even think the mask's on display, which is pretty unfortunate.
You know, that's... fuck. Not to fucking hate on anyone, man.
I get it.
I never understood private collector. Okay, so I did and I didn't. Now, when I say that is, before I started going crazy with my Instagram, which obviously is my horror Instagram, it's 90% fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I never really showed off my collect. I never was a bragger, okay? I never just took pictures and showed it off and stuff like that. And you gotta show it off to the world, man. That's why we do this shit. You
Absolutely.
know, this is, it's not bragging rights. It's never who's got more, who's got better. It doesn't matter. We all collect what we want to collect, and we like what we like. And I like the rarer shit, the older shit. You know, I have a lot of shit in my collection, you know, that's old, and the history behind it. So like, this was Rick Balens. Like, who the fuck was Rick Balens? This guy was the biggest collector there was, and I got video footage of, Rick getting this shit signed. So to me, it's not just, oh, this is a Japanese poster I got here. It's signed by Marilyn and Gunner and Ed and. Okay, cool. You know, many people have it, but I got the video of it being signed, man. Just seeing those guys back in the day signing this shit, and like I
It
feel like
preserves it. It's
I
amazing.
yeah, man, I feel like, you know what I mean? It just makes me feel like more understanding of it and just the moment behind it from seeing it 25 years ago being signed on my screen, and I look up and there it is on my fucking wall, you know. So that's the collector, you know, that's the collector I am. I enjoy the harder to find stuff, the cool shit. You know, I don't go out and buy some guy's love like the figures and the NECAs and all that. That shit's dope as fuck. Don't get me wrong. It is dope as shit. And I have a little bit of everything here, but that's what I go after. I own four scripts, Caroline Williams actuals. You know, like I just, to me, it's. To some people, it's a piece of paper, $3,000 piece of paper. But to me, it's just a part of history that I can look at on my wall. And it's, like I said, it's never been about the bragging rights. But I always have been against private collectors. And I don't mean that in the wrong way or the mean way. I just never understood the point, you know, of having that stuff and just, you know, even like you
And the way I
said.
see it, the way I see it is like, when you're gonna have something as culturally significant as, say, the Pretty Woman mask,
Oh my God.
that should be seen by the world.
That's it.
You know, the world, they deserve to at least see that. And he messaged me. He was asking, for some of the rare photos that I have of the Pretty Woman mask behind the scenes. And I said, well, in return, are you able to send me some current day photos of the Pretty Woman? He said, oh, it's 2 days to find those photos. And he ended up sending them, but it was just the ones that he's already posted on his Instagram from five.
Fucking.
And he says, it's like, oh, this is just between you and me. Don't show anyone these photos.
No, okay. See, I can't respect that. Nothing against this guy, but motherfucker, one, did you lose it or ruin it? Do you still have it? You know, like I'm the type of
Like
guy.
I said, well, have you sold it? Or he's
Yeah,
like, no, I
like
st
ah,
it's
dude.
tucked away. He says it's packaged tucked away.
Man, I fucking, even the stupidest thing like a fucking, even a piece of paper from like a pamphlet from one of these fucking conventions in 2004, like Cinema Wasteland, I bought it off One Leg Randy for fucking, you know, off of Rick's collect. Like, I can't even, I have to have all my shit on display, man. Like, I feel like. Like if I got something sitting in the cabinet right now because I don't have a frame for it yet or something, I'm like, fuck, man. Like if someone comes over, they're not gonna see this. Like I need it out. Like my walls are filled. You know what I mean? You put it out, show it to the world. Like look at it. Like the fact that something like that is, it's fucking, you know, it's put away. Like you know, we got questions here. You know, do you really own it still? Did it get lost? Did it get stolen? Is it? What happened? Did you fuck? Did your dog chew it up? And you don't want to tell no. You know, let's see this fucking thing, man. And now's the time, brother. If you ever hear this podcast, now is the time, man. Let's get that shit out there for the world,
Man,
bro.
he
And
has collection. He's got not just the Pretty Woman mask. He's got some consequential shit. He has Marilyn's costume. He has Gunnar Hansen. He has the arm lamp. Just lots and lots of just, oh my God, just incredibly important things in the film.
Right. You know, I get it. Like, I understand if you're like, yeah, like if you don't want to promote it because, like, you don't want the attention of, like, all these people messaging you and asking you, like, can I see it? And it's like, I can understand that. Like, but if you're going to, you know, there's a difference in levels to being, like, a private collector. You know what I mean? Like, you got to fucking, come on, man. You know, you got to show that shit off. That's history to us anyways, you know what I mean? And obviously if you own it, you know, you own it for a reason. I mean, I hope, you know, I hope it ain't just like, oh, I'm rich, fuck it, I'm going to buy this. Or show it off, man, enjoy what you got, appreciate what you got, because people would kill to own something like that and show it to the people. And like I said, just like Dave, is it Dave or David? What does he prefer?
David.
Just like David, you know, certain aspects of it, maybe you don't want people to know about or see or something like that. But, you know, we'd like an update and shit, man, and just to know. But I can't believe it's not on fucking, it's put away. I mean, what does that mean? It's in your wife's closet behind her fucking dresses and shoes? Like, what are we?
It's depressing for
you.
You
know, fuck.
You know, in David's position, he with his mask, he does exactly what I would do if I had it. You walk in his house, and it's the damn centerpiece of the house.
Fuck yeah, dude. It's
in this room, displayed in this glass case, this beautiful, elegant glass case with this massive, massive metal beam underneath it.
Unbelievable.
And it's on the platform inside the case. It's just it's very. Like, got this energy.
It's got this energy. It's got the Hansen energy.
It has the other props from the film just displayed all around it. What's amazing is, like, you forget some of the other things that are also in that room, because directly next to it, they have the promotional masks from Texas Chainsaw 3D that were on the masks.
I got that script. I got the 3D script, brother, signed by, and it's certified, signed by Dan Yeager himself. Fucking,
right.
Fuck, man, that's crazy, man. That fucking kills me, just, you know, but I wonder if any of these guys even could have imagined, man, just, where the fuck this film would be today and the fan base they have. And, you know, like, rest in peace to all the motherfuckers. Bob, Paul, Jim, Gunner. I mean, it's Maryland. Time's moving, man. And they're all getting older, brother. John Dugan's getting, you know, having some issues. And, you know, it's just, it's, fuck, man, the clock don't stop. But it's like, look at where we are. You know, I got Rick's collection on display, and he's gone. And one day I'll be gone, and it'll go to my kids, and just it's history, man, and we're the ones that keep it rocking, man, and I love it. With that being said, we're almost at the hour point here, which, I mean, don't matter, I could talk all fucking day, but I do have a question for you, to kind of wrap things up a little bit. But what are your, and I no order, but give me your favorite three in the franchise and then your least favorite movie in the franchise. And why?
Jesus. Well, I mean, I can tell you right off the bat. The first
74 is your fucking... Okay, well, give me...
And...
Obviously, we know... I mean, that's how any... You know, just like John Carpenter's Halloween or fucking... You know, the first film is the first fucking film, you know? What do we got for the other two favorites? No order at all. Just what other two speak out to you?
Jeez. Well, TCM2 is just, it's a fun movie.
I love it.
It's an excellent comedy.
Dark humor. It's, you know what? Everyone criticized him, Hooper, and he said, you know what? He said the first one to him was dark humor. That's how he wrote it, but nobody fucking seen it that way. So he said, okay, well, when I make the second one.
film, and I respect the hell out of that.
Yep.
Because how you end up getting into franchises. And thankfully, TCM, yes, it has a very confusing and terrible flow chart of sequels, but...
Yeah, they'll say everyone does.
Yeah, but each one does their own thing. They don't try to completely replicate the original.
Yep.
So, but I mean, they'll tap into the cliches, which is sad, and that's why you can tell it's a cheap sequel. But they're definitely trying their own tone for each one.
A lot of people love the 2003 one.
I would consider that as my third one. It was a boring list, but I mean, you go.
I didn't like the new one. That's just my opinion.
I don't know. But I mean, I pointed out with the thing with 2003 though.
Yeah.
That film, what it was trying to do, it certainly achieved it. It was trying to feel like a damn fever dream. Everything felt hot and sticky and uncomfortable, and just
it did.
Everything felt wrong. Oh my God, it felt like the Book of Eli, like that film. It just, everything was.
Yep.
Felt this landscape of Texas almost felt dystopian. It was so, and it feels so much more foreign to the viewers and to the characters.
You know, and the funny part is people don't think about this one, but you're gonna be like, oh shit, you know, you're right. Let's go back to 74, and I always reference John Carpenter's Halloween in 78 as well. Okay. Let's go back to 74 and talk about how no internet, none of this shit. You're in the middle of Texas. You live in Texas, okay? I don't. I live in fucking New York. So, you know, you can probably vibe with this a little more. But 1974, in the middle of fucking, you know, middle of nowhere, basically, Texas, where they are, you know, you call for help, it's probably going to take a while to get there. You're not going to hear about anything until, you know, a week later in the newspaper or whatever. That was some scary, real life fucking shit out that way.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know what I mean? Motherfucker, I'm from New York. We're driving through Texas and we break down, or we go down a wrong road. And next thing I know, you know, here comes this motherfucker with a chainsaw running down the road, chopping my boy. Like, that's some scary, eerie, real life shit. And back then they didn't need the crazy blood and the gore and the fucking fast pace. This, like, it was just that, those scares and like when he slides that door open.
Yeah, harsh reality.
Yeah, this, man. 100%. So, with 2003's version, okay. 2003, even though it's whatever, what, 30 years later, basically, 2003 was still early enough in our world of technology to still give that eerie feeling, but come in with just enough level of that gore and faster paced action, you know, because nowadays everything's gotta be fucking just fast paced, this bloody, like all these kids want to see crazy, you know, like Terrifier, right? But 2003 was like that sweet spot where it was still doable. You know what I mean? It was still but they were able to with the 30 years later, they were able to give it that extra juice, like you said, you know, in a different way, like that, like making it look like it was so hot and fucking sticky. Like, remember the fucking, I'm so fucked up right now. Who was the, when the dude blew his fucking brains out in the car? Was that 2003?
That was 2003.
Yes. Okay, so that scene right there, it's like, you wouldn't see that in 74. It wouldn't make sense, you know. We weren't at that day and age yet, but seeing that in 2003 was just early enough where internet was a thing, but it was very early. you know, you weren't going online and just pulling up fucking live leaks, seeing people getting decapitated and this and that. It was still a possible real thing where, you know, you would see something on the news at that point rather than the newspaper, like 74. But they were able to just add in that just enough juice, man, just to give it that. A lot of people love that one. And they had a hell of a cast. I'll give them that. I
Oh,
do
yeah.
like the cast.
Had a great cast, yeah.
You know, I thought it was it wasn't half bad, but it's tough with horror franchises, bro, because name me one franchise that hasn't made fucking 200 goddamn films. You know what I mean? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Freddy. You know, I mean, it's just that's what they do, and some of them are okay. They're never as good as the original, you know, never as good as the original, but I fucking love TCM too. I feel like the addition of Chop Top just gave it a different vibe and feel, and like I said, that's what he said he was going for, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I love the films. I love the fucking the work behind it, and yeah, rest in peace to a lot of these motherfuckers, man. It's unbelievable. So,
Absolutely.
you know, with that being said, all of you in here, please go check out this dude's work, man. You will be blown away. You'll be spending your wife's money. She'll be bitching. You got some new masks coming. You know, I got one coming
Hey,
shortly. I'm gonna
screw my
order.
work. Check out the forums. Check out the website. My God.
Oh, hey, man, the forums, they'll be around for many years to come, and that's the point of preserving the history, and,
Other people. Absolute kudos to you and kudos to the
oh,
whole team.
man, I appreciate all you guys, man. Like I said, it has been a long month or two of grind, and I just hope that, you know, I hope the community enjoys it, and I hope there's a big enough crowd in the community that does enjoy this stuff rather than just, you know, we love the in-depth aspect of this franchise and these films, where I know some of you guys are just generalized horror collectors that, you know, enjoy TCM and shit like that, but I know there's more of you diehards out there like us, new and young like Quinn here, and in middle age, I mean, I'm only 29, I'm not that old yet, but you know, moving forward, and even old heads, man, even the old guys that fucking love this shit, man. So that's why we did it. And you know, it was a debate between Discord or a forum system, and I, you know, there's always room for addition in the future if we do a Discord, but the thing with the forum was, man, is let's be honest here. So with Discord, there's really only so much that you can really talk about. So like if you're on Discord every single day, just text, talk, boom, boom, boom. The forum gives that old school vibe where, like I said, you lay down at night, you know, and you want to go on your phone and you pull the forum up and oh, there's some new posts and articles or early morning, you're taking a dump or you're fucking at work on lunch, and yeah, you know what I mean? It's that thing where you can pull it up when you want to. It doesn't have to be a constant thing. You know, we don't need it to be active 24/7, but it's always cool to go on there and read the new shit and see the new shit. And like I said, man, in 10 years from now, just look back to all the history that's gonna be on there and you know, that's I could put as much generalized information as possible on the website, the main website, the main hub as I call it. But the forum is where you get everybody's opinions together and everybody's talk together,
Yep.
and you know, that's why I do it, man. I like I said, I
And
really
it's
hope.
perfect for everybody. You know, it's perfect for the complete diehards because it has so much
Yeah,
info, and
man.
there's plenty of places for, you know, people that are casual fans or just
Casual, yep.
general collectors.
Yep.
It's so much for everybody.
And that's all we try to do, man. Like I said, we hope, you know, we hope it works out. You know, we hope people come check it out and share it around and spread the word and just continue to go. And anyone else out there, this isn't a monopoly. If you're a prop maker, get a hold of us, show us your work. We have no problem promoting you. That's why we do it. Content creators, stuff like that. Now, I will also be straight up. There are a couple of you in this community that I just don't fuck with. And it's not anything, it's nothing more than that. I am the most stand up, loyal, respectful, friendly guy that you will ever meet. But when you break that trust and you talk negatively about me or somebody in our community or something like that, that's just where the line's drawn. And we aren't douchebags. We're not going to come attack you. We're not going to go shame you. We're just not going to
Oh, we will,
welcome.
you know, separate,
We will
you know,
separate.
yeah.
We're not gonna, like I said, we're not gonna, there's no competition here. We're not competing against Facebook groups or this or that or trying to be the biggest and the best. We're just having fun with what we're doing, guys. Like him making his
Absolutely,
mask,
yeah.
Sean doing content, Mark collecting shit and making videos, and that's all it is, man. So, part two here. We're definitely gonna get this motherfucker Quinn back on here for a part three sometime in the future. I know he's always got crazy shit going on. Check out his fucking grandma, on his Instagram. It's fucking very
Yeah,
interesting.
we're gonna do part three when I go to England and steal the pretty woman.
Well, you might have to dig through someone's closet, but fucking it's there
It's
somewhere.
gonna be in a shoebox falling
Oh
apart.
my God, it probably is. What the fuck? But yeah, man, like I said, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the information and just watching your journey, dude. You're 16 years old, man. It's unbelievable, bro. No, seriously, man, and just I can't wait to see where you are as a person and career-wise, whatever path you decide to go down in just the next 10 to 20 years, man. I know it's going to be a bright future for you, bro, and we're here to support you. And like I said, I got to get my first order in here. I'm ordering a pretty woman for those of you listening. I fucking love that thing, man. I'll probably, my problem is like I said, I got like 15 Myers masks. For those of you that buy Myers mask, they're like fucking anywhere from fuck the ones I buy 400 to fucking 800. It just depends on what I'm getting.
Yes, sir.
So when I play, I play, and that's all we do. So I got a feeling like my tattoos here, once you get one, it's gonna keep them coming. So I'm gonna get that ordered soon. Let him do his thing with it, and yeah, you'll hear from him again soon. So check the description. Fan club's in there. All his social media's in there. Hit him up on Instagram. Get some shit ordered. I know all your tax money came in, motherfuckers. Get your fucking mask. And any last words for the people, brother?
Big plans, big plans.
Big plans. All right,
Big plan.
motherfuckers. We will expose the big plans in the next episode. Peace out.